Digital assets are a general term for value recorded in digital form, relying on cryptography and distributed ledgers. Their scope is broad, covering both well-known crypto assets and central bank digital currencies, tokenized securities, and on-chain points. The first step to understanding this concept is to distinguish it from traditional financial concepts such as currency, securities, and commodities, because digital assets are classified into different legal baskets across jurisdictions. Technically, many digital assets are built on blockchain, a shared ledger whose records are maintained by many nodes rather than a single institution. This decentralized bookkeeping brings transparency and verifiability, but also makes it hard for regulators to pin down a single responsible entity using traditional methods. Because their attributes are ambiguous, digital assets often sit across multiple regulatory boundaries. The same token may be treated as a commodity in one place, a security in another, and banned in a third. This difference in jurisdiction and characterization is a root cause of divergent global regulatory trends. For ordinary readers, it is important to understand that digital assets are not a single thing. Treating them as a large category with multiple subtypes helps explain why regulation takes a classified approach and avoids being misled by statements about digital asset regulation. Regulatory attention did not appear overnight. It heated up gradually with market size, user numbers, and accumulated risk events. In the early stage, digital assets were seen as a niche toy with limited impact, and regulators mostly observed. The turning point came at several nodes. First, exponential user growth moved digital assets from the margin to the mainstream. Second, associated crimes such as money laundering, fraud, and ransomware raised law enforcement alarm. Third, fiat-pegged stablecoins began to pose potential challenges to payment systems and monetary sovereignty. A deeper driver is financial stability. As connections between digital assets and traditional finance, such as custodians, payment channels, and listed company holdings, grow, local risks can transmit to the broader system. Regulation shifted from whether to regulate to how to regulate without triggering systemic risk. Consumer protection also accelerates regulation. Ordinary investors facing highly volatile and asymmetric assets can suffer losses without proper disclosure. Regulators therefore put information disclosure, suitability management, and anti-fraud at the core of the agenda. Globally, regulatory frameworks fall into three typical paths. The first is strict licensing, requiring institutions to obtain licenses and accept ongoing supervision, such as the EU's unified crypto asset regulation and licensing regimes in some Asian financial hubs. The second is sandbox observation, allowing innovation within controlled limits via regulatory sandboxes or pilots while accumulating data and experience. This is common in jurisdictions balancing fintech innovation with risk control. The third is restriction or prohibition, clearly limiting or banning specific digital assets for capital controls, stability, or monetary sovereignty. This is common in economies prioritizing financial security. These paths are not static. The same country may encourage underlying technology while tightening speculative trading. Understanding this layered governance logic is more valuable than simple labels. Looking at magnitude, public estimates from third-party industry reports suggest over 100 jurisdictions have issued some form of digital asset guidance or draft legislation. The Financial Action Task Force, an international anti-money laundering standard setter, included virtual asset service providers in its 40 recommendations since 2019 and required members to implement the travel rule. These figures show regulation is no longer sporadic but coordinated. We can use the regulatory intensity spectrum framework. Unlike the traditional binary classification of allow or ban, the spectrum maps jurisdictions onto a continuum from prohibition through sandbox to full licensing, preserving gray zones. Its strength is explaining why an economy may encourage underlying technology yet tighten speculative trading. This asset subtype by business step grading is more explanatory than black and white thinking. Real cases help the framework land. A widely cited turning point was the collapse of a large trading platform in 2022, which caused widespread user losses and pushed many jurisdictions to accelerate legislation and enforcement coordination. Another clear example is the EU's crypto asset market regulation, the first unified access and disclosure rules at a major economy level, and licensing regimes for virtual asset trading platforms implemented since 2023, turning licensed operation from principle into hard threshold. These are overviews of public policy. Specific texts follow official releases. The most important output of this chapter is an actionable self-check list. First, confirm whether your platform holds a license or registration in your jurisdiction. Second, check whether it performs identity verification and suspicious transaction reporting. Third, note whether the asset is explicitly restricted or banned. Fourth, distinguish technology education from promotional content with return promises. Fifth, periodically review regulatory updates. Use this list as a filter for any digital asset information to reduce misguidance. Stablecoins draw special regulatory attention because they combine convenience with fiat stability. By backing, they include fiat-pegged, crypto-over-collateralized, and a few algorithmically adjusted types. Regulators focus on payment attributes and run risk. When widely used for daily payment and settlement, a stablecoin gains quasi-currency features. A loss of peg can spread to merchants.